A hero is part human and part supernatural. A hero is born out of a childhood trauma or out of a disaster that must be avenged.
Okay, you're thinking of a superhero.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour, including a This Just In. Aaron Granillo just got this. So, Aaron, I haven't had time to watch this, so can you help me a little bit with the visuals that accompany the audio I'm about to share with my listeners?
Sure, yeah. So this is a Love Sea Town, Seattle that is, Love Sea Town campaign to drive recovery. So the Downtown Seattle Association has launched this new campaign as part of an effort to lure people back to downtown Seattle post-pandemic. And they go around showing some of the landmarks around downtown Seattle and talking to some people on the streets, interviewing, I think, certain business owners, local hip-hop artist is a part of it. So it paints downtown Seattle very favorably.
Okay, so here's what you hear when you play this ad.
I love the vitality, and it's back.
Oh, man, it's beautiful. The architecture, the people.
Seeing people dance and smile and actually just be out.
Everyone's super nice to you. Like, everyone greets you and everyone helps you out.
Time out. Okay, look, nobody loves Seattle more than me. I have so many things that I have loved about this city. One of them has never been that everyone's super nice to you. Have you experienced that, Aaron, when you're out and about?
Sometimes. Not all the time.
It's even
Seattle
got a
freeze.
Name.
Yeah, I know.
The Seattle chill.
I know.
No. I mean, I liked walking around. When I used to work till 11:30 at the TV station, I had friends, and we would walk the streets of downtown Seattle till 3 or 4 a.m., just talking, having a good time, and do that. Now, you're dead. Okay, let me hear a little more of this.
Like, it's a huge small town.
We always find something fun to do around here. It's
just the texture of the city itself. There's water, there's mountains.
It's a musical city.
Really, the diversity.
It's just like an intersection of a lot of different people.
You know, you can walk down the street in downtown, and you can hear like 30 different languages.
And food is amazing.
You've got great international cuisine.
I try to make an issue of like getting a little bit of something from everywhere.
I don't even know if we have that much international cuisine because they closed the Sbarro downtown, didn't they?
I don't know about that one, but yeah. Good point. Yeah, many restaurants have closed, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, this is going to be an uphill battle. They should actually clean up downtown before they run a promo telling everybody how pristine and clean and beautiful and diverse it is. Because, you know, let's say one person says, oh, it sounds pretty good. And they go down and they see all the graffiti and trash and needles. This seems out of place to me. It seems like prioritization should be, let's actually clean up downtown, and then let's do this promo telling everybody how beautiful it is. But this seems out of order.
Like you, Dory, I'm from Seattle. I was born here, and I hate to see what it's become, parts of downtown Seattle. I mean, I remember in high school, you know, as even a 12, 13, 14-year-old, I would walk around downtown Seattle by myself. This is back in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, and I felt completely safe for the most part. My parents let me do it. My daughter right now, I mean, she's young, but if she were to be 10 to 15, no way.
There's no way.
Am I letting her walk around downtown Seattle, especially at night right now.
In Seattle had, this is long before your time, but I've talked about this before. There was this on either Pine or Pike, and it's probably up around, you know, 5th or 6th. There was this business, and it had women dancing in the window, and they were kind of silhouetted, but they would be waving their hands for you to come inside. And so my friends and I, we were always just fascinated because we had no idea what went on behind those doors. But we would just drive around the block. And that's what passed for a body Seattle back then. And then there's this donut shop on First Avenue, and I went in there once, and a couple of drunk guys got in a fight, and one of them broke a bottle on the sidewalk. And I'd heard of this in TV and cartoons. One of them broke a bottle and had all the jagged glass. And I was in the back of the store, the donut shop, and I couldn't squeeze by them. So I just had to hope the fight didn't come my direction. But I was, you know, like 13 years old when that happened. I was just down there with my buddies. And now what I've described with the women and with the donut shop, it seems a little tame compared to what we have now, the shootings, and there was a stabbing a few days ago on Third Avenue, and on it goes. It makes me sad. It's very sad. So, I don't know. Don't let your kids go down there. I'm with you on that, Aaron.
Yeah. Sad.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Yep. What else we got here? Before I get to the big lead, Jeff Bezos, he's talking about his big space flight. Now, there have been a lot of criticism because people are saying, hey, look, Jeff Bezos and Bronson, not Bronson, what's his name? Branson. He went up a few days ago, and all these billionaires are just going up into space as their plaything. And why people would get upset at that is absolutely beyond me. There are people a lot richer than me who can fly a private jet or transport themselves everywhere they go in a private jet. I would love that. I've never flown in a private jet. I'm not jealous of them. I don't hate them for that. Now, if they also talk about how much they care about the environment, when Al Gore and Jay Inslee go up in a private jet, they're stinking hypocrites. But if people aren't talking a game that they don't actually play, what do I care? So they made a lot more than me. If I wanted to make that much money, I shouldn't have gone into to radio. Oh, radio's been very, very good to me. But, and just like, you know, I can do things that maybe some others can't afford to do. But that's life. I'm not jealous of people who succeed. I think that people who succeed are, you know, from just a purely capitalistic standpoint, are absolutely necessary. But on CNN, they were pressing Jeff Bezos about the billionaire joyride he's about to go on.
Now, Jeff, there have been a chorus of critics saying that these flights to space are, you know, just joyrides for the wealthy and that you should be spending your time and your money and energy trying to solve problems here on Earth. So what do you say to those critics?
Well, I say they're largely right. We have to do both. You know, we have lots of problems in the here and now on Earth, and we need to work on those. And we always need to look to the future. We've always done that as a species, as a civilization. We have to do both. And what our job at Blue Origin is to do, and what this space tourism mission is about, is having a mission where we can practice so much that we get really good at operational space travel, more like a commercial airliner and less like what you think of as traditional space travel. If we can do that, then we'll be building a road to space for the next generations to do amazing things there. And those amazing things will solve problems here on Earth. And by the way, maybe it'll be Oliver. He's 18 years old. Maybe he'll found a space company that uses the infrastructure this generation is building right now. So the real answer is yes, we have to do both.
I don't think there's anything wrong with man pushing the boundaries of human spirit and human conquest, whether we want to think of space as a conquest or not. But that is a good thing. That's how you move ahead. That's how you move forward as a society. And by the way, when I said I don't think there's anything wrong with man pushing the limits, obviously what I meant to say was persons pushing. No, it's just men. I don't think women should push any limits. Just men. Now, all people should push limits. Crying out loud. My daughters are soaring. I want them to push every limit imaginable. Hey, what else we got here? The thing you pointed out, Nicole, is I've never seen the Austin Powers movie, but the other thing that Jeff Bezos is getting a lot of criticism for is his rocket is like phallic shaped.
It's interesting. Yeah, we discussed it a little bit on Friday. Sean was in on this conversation too, but I just can't imagine looking at the drawing when that first was envisioned and saying, "Yeah, that's a good idea."
I'm looking at the Austin Powers one, and there's the Bezos. Yeah, okay. Oh, it's just a shape.
Maybe that's more aerodynamic. We're the dirty minds.
All these criticisms. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to this hour's top story.
The big lead, top story.
Okay, so the state of Washington is known for coming up with cutting edge, brilliant, some might even say genius slogans. A few years ago, long before COVID, they wanted you to wash your hands.
We love soap so much we scrub for fun. We are wash your hands in time. Yes, we are wash your hands in time.
Visit.
Then the announcer comes in. But somebody thought, and somebody got paid. Somebody did the creative. Some ad agency got paid for that. For Wash Your Hands Ington.
Wash Your Hands Ington, where people wash their hands, cover their cough, and get the flu vaccine.
This is the state of the
All before COVID. That's crazy.
The green and impeccable hygiene. We love it when our hands are clean.
Yeah, okay. So that was one a few years ago. We were trying to think of other failed slogans. I got a bunch of text messages from people who said the most failed slogan ever was Jay Inslee for governor. That's mean. Come on, don't be so mean. So I'm watching the news last night, and I see the newest Washington commercial that's going to really make a positive impact on our lives.
Morning time, we just want to double check. Because getting tested is simple. It helps protect our community. And it's saving Washington lives. Time to get back to normal. I'm putting COVID-19 in check. Because Washington is washing tested.
So somebody pitched that. Bunch of guys sitting around a table, or maybe on a Zoom call. Washington. And they said, well, okay, how do you say it? It's Washington, Washington, Washington. Can't say ton. I mean, can't say tin. So do you have something in between? Well, it's Washington. Tin, tin, tin. But when you emphasize that syllable, like this guy does, it just sounds dorky.
Because Washington is washing tested.
Washington. Washington is washing tested. Doesn't even make sense. None of this makes any sense to me. And then the big question, of course, is, are we going to go back to being masked here in our region? Because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are telling every American to not get vaccinated. Shocking. Even though Jay Inslee's blaming it on Trump voters. But then you have Biden and Harris telling everyone to not get vaccinated. Well, of course, this was during the campaign when they thought it would hurt Trump.
So let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay. And
can you imagine that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are telling everybody to get vaccinated now, just a few months ago, they told everybody not to get vaccinated. Because they thought that message would help them win an election. You want a prime example of why I hate politics? Right there. They would rather that, according to their own data, they would rather have had hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people die than to lose an election. And that's why I believe the enticement of power is so great that these people who are, I mean, they've lost their soul. If you would rather have millions of people die than to not get even more power. That's why I hate politics. So Jay Inslee says it's 50-year-old male Trump voters who aren't getting vaccinated in our state. Biden and Kamala said they shouldn't, nobody should get vaccinated if it's a Trump vaccine, which this is, because it happened on his watch. But down in Los Angeles, they've reinstated the indoor mask ban. Even if you're vaccinated, you must wear a mask indoors, once again, in Los Angeles County. Although the county sheriff has said he will not uphold this new command, this new directive. And they did a little man on the street stuff, too.
I'm tired of this pandemic. There's no man. I'm not wearing any masks. I'll put on a monster mask before I put on a mask.
But this guy, he thinks masking is good.
Duly necessary. I think just to stem down the spread, to circumvent it, I think it's very, very necessary in order to...
Okay, listen very carefully. He wants us to nip COVID in the bud, right? No, I don't think that's what he says.
Nip this virus in the bud.
He wants us to nip COVID in the butt, which, by the way, if you have a mask on, I don't even know how your teeth could sink in. And that is your fastest 15.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We shall check the news for you, and then got a lot of other news to get to here, more local stuff. Bill Gates, a brand new book out that says it places Bill Gates at Jeffrey Epstein's apartment multiple occasions until the wee hours of the morning. This is sounding creepier and creepier with every passing day. Tell you about that and lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, Aaron, you just had a story that ticked me off.
Okay.
I'm genuinely angry right now that they're investigating the 911 call receiver on the call from Richard Sherman's wife.
Yeah, this is just came down actually from the Redmond Police Department, which has received a series of what it calls misdirected complaints because of that 911 audio. They're saying it wasn't us, Redmond Police. It was the King County Sheriff's Office, and that agency is going to open an administrative review, and that should take several months, it says.
Jeez, that's ridiculous. That the King County Sheriff, I talked to the former King County Sheriff about that 911 call, and he said he didn't hear anything wrong with it. But we have a Sheriff's Department, and the King County Sheriff's Department, Mitzi J. Hanknick, Liz Rocha, the two at the top, it is in such disarray right now. And the reason you investigate something is if it seems, in your professional opinion, that somebody has done something wrong. But they're going to investigate it because of public complaints. What a ridiculous reason to launch a months-long investigation, and that'll surely cost a fair amount of money if it's going to last for months. It's unbelievable to me because of public complaints. Man, do you know how many investigations Cairo would launch on me if there were public complaints?
Countless.
Infinite number. Okay. All right, thank you. I mean, think about this, though. So a bunch of people complained about me and our show because we were the first ones to get that 911 call. Now, every media outlet in the world has posted that 911 call because it's a public record. People were upset with me and Nicole because we were the best at our job getting that before anybody else, because Nicole got a tip and Hannah Scott helped us get the audio and turn it around. And nobody's complaining about Q13 or Cairo 7 or Como 4 or anybody else who's posting that audio, because they weren't the first to post it. So everybody complains about me and our show because we happen to be really good at our job. And it told the story better. And what I said the day everybody was complaining, when they were saying, you're shameless for playing that call, then don't listen to it. You know, and I started getting all these text messages and emails. I just listened to that 911 call, and I can't believe you aired it. To which I say, I can't believe you listened to it. But you did. And then for whatever reason you decide to, I'm going to fire off an angry message to the person who played it for me to listen to. You don't want to listen to it, turn off your radio. But it provided a far more compelling and informed narrative of what went on that night. Nobody knew that. I mean, all anybody in the media knew was that Richard Simmons crashed his car into a barrier, into a construction site, parked it, went to his in-laws' house. Nobody knew what had happened at his own home, where he's got a couple of little kids. And that provided a far more informed view of that story. That's what we do. And I've said it a few days ago. I'll say it again now. I'm not your censor. I mean, there are certainly some things we withhold, but for the most part, on a story that I knew everybody was going to run this audio after, you know, they've heard about it from us, then certainly from a competitive perspective, everybody else is going to run it. So we should sit on it until everybody else does, and that'll give us some cover. No, I can take the heat that comes with it, but there was no question that playing that was from, you know, what we do for a living, it was the correct thing to do. But we start getting all these unfounded complaints. And if that's what the King County Sheriff's Office is running an investigation on, complaints from the public, because I will tell you, in this particular case, the public is just wrong. You don't want to hear it, don't hear it. Turn off the radio. Turn the channel. You can be your own gatekeeper. You don't need me to be your mommy and daddy. If there is a way to tell a story that gives a lot more context and information, then we will do that, unless there's something that, you know, that is just beyond the pale. This was not beyond the pale. And so, complaints. The cancel culture crowd is out for a 911 call receiver. And I even said, you know, she sounded a little impatient and all that. I said, hey, let's get Urquhart on and get a professional's view. And so John Urquhart and Nicole sent him, because he hadn't heard it, because he could turn off his radio. Nicole sent him the clips via email, and he listened to them for us in their entirety, and then he came on the show and he said, I didn't hear anything wrong with what she did. He goes, yeah, I know she sounded impatient at times, and you know, he said it wasn't the greatest call receiver incident he's ever heard, but he said it wasn't, there's nothing unprofessional and there's nothing wrong about that. And so you have all these people who, you know, are sitting in their couch with their phone, and they are sending off an angry message to 911 to let them know that they didn't like her tone. They don't know anything about policing. They know very little about the job this woman does, and they've decided now, well, let's see if we can cancel her. And why? Well, because Richard Sherman helped the Seahawks win a Super Bowl. You know what? You want to put some energy into something? Why don't you care more about the guy who terrorized his wife and two little kids and in-laws, who drove just stinking drunk for, what, about 20 miles? I don't know how far it is from Maple Valley to Redmond. It's probably about 20 miles. Thank goodness He didn't crash his car into somebody else, into some innocent person, some family person who was driving. You're more upset about a 911 call receiver than the guy who committed all the transgressions that night. And this isn't supposed to be some indictment of Richard Sherman, because I thought he was very humble in his statement on Friday when he said he clearly needs help and he is committed to seeking out and getting the help he needs. Good for him. I wish him the best in that journey. But if you're more upset about a call receiver on 911 line than somebody who terrorizes family members and endangers the lives of probably hundreds or thousands of people, however many he shared the road with, it probably was hundreds at 1 a.m., then you got to take a serious inventory of your life and your priorities if you just want to cancel somebody. It's really... It is a sick time.
Dory, I would say part of the annoying part is that they're actually paying attention to the social media criticism, because it specifically states that they received the complaints via social media and some random petitions or whatever. If you want to complain about somebody, you know, go do the work, figure out who you're supposed to send it to, write the letter, blah, 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 you know, do the work. I mean, you're just giving, we're letting all of these people on social media just rant and then we're listening to them. I wish we would stop giving any validity to that.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
complaints.
Why, you know, I love the men and women of the King County Sheriff's Office. Many of them are friends and I love them. I feel horrible for them because Mitzi Jo Hanknick's tenure has been a disaster. And, you know, it's the people at the top who are letting the mob rule, because apparently the people at the very top don't have the courage of their own convictions on how to run things. So they're just letting a bunch of Twitter people run things. That's pathetic for the top leadership there. But the men and women, the detectives, the deputies, I love you guys. I really do. All right, quick timeout. I was not expected to go off on that, but I just heard Aaron's story. Quick timeout, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio's coming up next.
You got it. We're going to stake up those calories.
There we go.
Hi, Pony. Up, a dipshit.
Great cornerback Richard Sherman, his dance to be fit workout. I miss Richard Simmons back when he would do tours and come into the radio station with me and hang out. That was before your time, Nicole. You would have loved him. You would have adored the man.
I'm sure I would have, yeah. I probably would have danced with him.
I'm sure he would have. He would come in, and he was just in full character. And he wore these, like, bedazzled short shorts that were striped. And then he had his tank top. And when he first came into the building, I was at my desk in the newsroom. And all of a sudden, as soon as he walked through the front door, which is a fair distance from the newsroom, I start hearing, Dory! And he comes dancing, prancing into the newsroom. I got you a present. And he bought me a space needle. And at the base, it was a little pencil sharpener.
Really? That is cute. I like that he was in character the whole time.
Oh, he was in character. There have been a few. Mr. T was in a full sweaty lather. When he came in, I mean, he just played the role to the hilt, even when he was doing, you know, radio appearances. I like those guys. They understand. They get it. You know, not like Jimmy Walker. Jimmy, can you say the Dory Monson show is dynamite? I don't go there anymore. And now I see he's selling, Medicare insurance, and he's got dynamite on the bookshelf right behind him. I guess he goes there now.
I saw that same commercial recently, and he actually did verbally say dynamite on that spot.
Yeah. No, he was too cool for that when he was on our show. But now that he doesn't have any other gigs, apparently. Now he's once again Kid Dynamite. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
Okay, in our Awesome Audio, a woman in Detroit, this has been a real problem. With cars being stolen, there are carjackings just taking place all around the country. Seattle is having a record number of carjackings right now. But this woman, she had it. Somebody stole her car. She chased the guy down and pulled him by his dreadlocks. And it was something to see.
I stole my shit. At that point, I was just like, dog, I'm not letting this man walk again.
Bianca, face to face with the guy she says stole her brand new Benz.
Excuse me, you got that Benz out there? Yes, you do.
It went down Wednesday at a barbershop at Greenfield and Grand River.
He in 7 days West, getting his dreads twisted. Look at my car.
Customer stepped in, making a citizen's arrest. Then Bianca slashed her own tires.
I slashed all the tires, and I thought that he was going to take off, and I didn't know how long it was going to take for the police to pull up. And I refused to let him pull off again.
Holding him there until Detroit police came.
You will never steal from me again.
Detroit police say officers responded four times to Bianca's 911 calls as she tracked the car using a web of social media tips. But when officers got there, the car was gone.
Oh, my God. Y'all, I see my car.
The thief, so bold, he even made a pit stop at the strip mall where Bianca owns a boutique.
They was driving, you know, they was having a good time, you know, they was smoking, but yes, my car was very clean.
He even got the car detailed. Sources tell Fox 2 the thief, now in police custody, has a history of stealing cars since he was a teen.
He's just the dumbest criminal, that's all. Like, you're joyriding in my car. Like, when nobody going to see you?
Whew, he picked the wrong car owner victim there, that's for sure. Comedian Bill Burr, he has a lot of things to say, and we had to heavily bleep this, but we found out that he is not a fan of CNN.
I got to tell you, my mother-in-law comes over to help watch the kids, and she always puts on CNN. And do you know what those morons are doing? They're fucking talking about Trump. I swear to God, I cannot believe people watch that channel. They're so dumb. It's like, do you think these people give a they want Darth Vader to come back. They want him to come back because they got nothing to talk about because it's show business. And Joe Biden is a
It's true. CNN's lost about 70% of its audience since they lost Trump. And then finally in our Awesome Audio, Jenny Durkin's got a Welcome Back to Seattle campaign.
With Welcome Back Weeks.
Oh, they're going to Welcome Back Weeks. And thankfully, we have Sean DeTore putting it to some music.
Welcome back. We want to think beyond one-time events. Welcome back. We want to recreate and rebirth our areas in the downtown. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. These are going to be 2 weeks of events, performances, promotions happening. Welcome back. Welcome back weeks. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back weeks.
It's I gotta get out of here.
People join in.
But the Tom and Shirley. Yeah, Tom and Shirley are coming up next. Now it's Laverne and Curly. Whatever it is. It's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow, high noon.
Well, folks, I guess this is it. I don't have any more jokes left to tell, but I do have my memories. And I think we had a really good show for you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.